Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another Daily Devotion. It's great to be back in my new location, though everything's looking a little bit weird and out of place. I've got boxes, book boxes everywhere, and we're still sort of figuring, well, most of the house is sorted out. My study definitely isn't, but that's all right, we're getting there. It's good to be together. I'm still a little bit unwell, but I am getting better, so thanks so much for your prayers and your words that you sent me as well. That was really lovely to hear. But it's great to be back together and open up God's Word again. We're up to Daily Devotion number 89, and we find ourselves back in 1 John once again, and we're into chapter 3. So if you've got your Bible, open it up. We're going to be looking at the first three verses of 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it does not know him. Beloved, we are God's children, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that we can spend some time opening it up this afternoon, and we pray that you'd help us just to see the beauty that there is to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, being a child of God is a grand privilege. You know, there's lots of different things that we consider to be a privilege in life, and this is apparently one of the greatest. And not just apparently, it really is. If you've come to understand adoption, you've really come to understand one of the pinnacles of the faith. In fact, I think it's John Calvin who would say that adoption is the greatest privilege that comes to the child of God. Well, I wonder if a song struck to mind. It did to me when I read this verse, see what kind of love the Father has given to us. I don't know if you sung in Sunday school that song that went, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God or child of God. And it would alternate back and forth, you know, one half would sing one half and one half would sing the other. It really is an incredible reality. The love that God would show to us. I mean, if you just think about it for a second, we were, by nature, Ephesians says, children of wrath. We were, by nature, children of wrath. What that means is that in your very being, in your very nature, who you were destined to be was something that receives all of God's wrath, all of God's judgment, all of God's punishment. And yet now, John says, you have been made a child of God. That's a phenomenal reality, isn't it? That he would take you and move you from the place of wrath to the place of childhood. I mean, we understand this in our relationship with our own children, don't we? There are times when we're angry with them because they've done something wrong. And they're due for our punishment. And we punish them as loving parents. But then after punishing them, we embrace them, don't we? I went through this with one of my children yesterday. And after punishing them, I embraced them, wrapped my arms around them and said to them, I love you. Well, that's just the shadow of the depth of what God has done for us, in the fact that he has shed his love upon us, and he's called us his children, as he says in 3 verse 1 here. And it's funny, because the natural outworking of that in verse 2 is that the world hates us. He says, this is the reason the world does not know us. And I think what he means by that is the reason the world opposes us. It's the reason the world persecutes us. Because We stand in a complete opposite to them. As the children of God, we are something foreign to them. We perplex them. Why? Because they do not know the Father, John says. We are so vastly different to the world, so vastly different to the world as God's children, that they don't understand us. They don't understand who we are. They don't understand the way we function. And so what do you do when someone's different to you? Well, I know you should embrace them, but people don't, do they? When someone's different, you persecute them. I mean, just think about the playground at school. If there's one kid who's different, he gets savagely picked on, doesn't he? And so we, being the children of God, are distinctly different to the world. And so the world sets its anger and hatred upon us. But you know the amazing thing, for all the incredible beauty and magnificence that it is now to be known as children of God, and with all the privileges that go with that, with knowing Him as Father, with being able to pray to Him, with having Him to love us and care for us and all that sort of thing, there is more blessing yet to come. Did you hear that? I wonder if you heard that in verse 2. He says, we are God's children now. So we're God's children now. And we will be, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. There is a future reality of which we do not yet understand. There is a sense in which we are receiving the blessing now of being God's children. And we know that, and we experience that. And we come to experience that more, don't we? But there's a sense in which there is something yet to come that we have not seen. What is it? Is there a hint in this text to what John is thinking of? Well, I think that there's two hints. Firstly, we shall be like Him. We shall be like Him. And in verse 3, everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. You see, becoming children of God is not the end. The end goal is not to become children of God. The end goal is to become like Christ, isn't it? You think about Romans 8. What's the whole purpose of Romans 8:28, which people quote so often? People say, you know, God works all things together for our good. And we say, yes and amen. But what's He doing it for? He's doing it that we might be conformed to the image of Christ. And so John here, in like terms, says, you're a child now that you might be like Christ then. And so everything in your life, everything you're experiencing as a child now, God is weaving together that you might be like Christ then. So that when you see Him, did you notice that He said there in verse 3? In verse 2, He says, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him as He is. You see, what stops you seeing Him as He is now? Think about it. What stops you from seeing Him as He is now? It's your sin, isn't it? Your sin stops you seeing Him. Think about Israel. Israel in the wilderness. Why could they not approach the Holy of Holies in the temple? Why did fire come out of the temple and consume people? It was sin. Sin was holding the people back from God. They couldn't approach because they were sinful. What caused Aaron's sons to get consumed? They offered incense in an ungodly manner and they were consumed by the wrath of God. You see, we can't approach because we have sin and God's wrath would consume us. But then we will be fully purified. God's work will be done. He will have fully purified us. And therefore we will see him as he truly is. We will get that desire of our heart finally fulfilled, where we will see Christ face to face. Oh, what a blessed day that will be, isn't it? Don't you just long for the day when you will look upon your Saviour, when you will gaze upon his beauty? Well, if you're longing for that day, as you should be, it's one of the evidences you're a child of God. But what should we do now? Because we're not there yet. What should we do while we wait? How should we wait? Well, John says we should purify ourselves. Have a look at verse 3. Everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. In other words, you are a child of God. You are being made into a full child of God in the sense of being like Christ. You're being purified to that end. Therefore, purify yourself now. In other words, be busy working at that reality which he is working at. In other words, God is working to purify you now. That in the end, you will be fully purified. So work hard at that. You know, we can become so, I guess, laissez faire about our holiness. We can become so lax. We can almost take it for granted because we have grace, because we're forgiven, because God's grace is enough. And that's true, but none of that negates the necessity for holiness. None of that negates the fact that we need to work hard to be children of God. You see, a child of God is holy, is purified. We are, aren't we? He says, purify yourself because you are pure. Everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. And this he is pure could relate to a couple of things. It could relate to God. Purify yourself as he is pure, like Peter would say, be holy as he is holy. Or it could refer to ourselves, but I think it's both. You see, we are to purify ourselves because he is pure, so we're seeking to be pure like he is pure. But it could also refer to ourselves in the sense of we have already been made pure by God. In Christ, positionally, we are pure. Therefore, let us work with zeal to be pure like he is. And that's no small task, is it? It's no small task to labor to be like Christ. But it's a worthy task, isn't it? And you know, if we're going to be pure then, wouldn't it make sense that we want to be pure now? Wouldn't that make sense? If we don't want to be pure now because we love our sin too much, then what makes us think we're going to want to be pure then? So what God begins now, he completes then. What we work on now, he completes then. And so let us be like Paul and work out our salvation with fear and trembling, because it is God who works in us. In other words, let's work to be like Jesus, because there's a day coming when the work will be done. Isn't that a blessed thought? One day, your work of becoming more like Jesus will be finished. You know, we grow tired of sinning, don't we? We grow tired of getting it wrong. A day's coming when you will never sin again. So let us strive with all our might now to live as we will be then, when we finally see him face to face. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you are doing a purifying work in us. And we pray that you would help us to see you and know you and to be pure like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for tuning in. It's great to be back again after quite a few days away. I think it's 4 days of no days of devotion. It felt a bit odd for me. I'm sure it did for some of you who are with us all the time here. I'll be back here, same place, same time. Might have a different angle of view tomorrow. We'll see how we go. But I hope you have a most blessed afternoon and evening, and I'll see you back here tomorrow afternoon. God bless.